Hi, everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast bonus episode, NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. I am your host, and with me, as always, is my teenage son, Jackson. Say hello, Jack.
Hello.
Well, we're back midweek, so you know what that means. We clearly saw something that we couldn't wait to talk about until Saturday, right?
And that was NXT TakeOver.
It was.
NXT delivering the goods once again.
It really did. So we
note how we're not reviewing No Surrender.
True. We're going to give that the old turbo review on the Saturday show because it was less exciting than this. What turned out to be a fantastic show, I thought. So we thought we'd sit down and talk about it a little bit more in depth than we would have time to on a Saturday because we did enjoy it so much.
A bit of banter. If you'd like to contact us, now would be a good time because this fool's getting older.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, we got a birthday tomorrow.
I do. I do have a birthday tomorrow.
So on Dynamite, too.
Me, Michael Jordan, Jim Brown.
Nice.
Arguably the greatest football player ever.
I got Triple H, I think.
Nice.
But yeah, so how old are you again? 44, right?
Yep, that is correct.
So yeah, we're going to be doing some stuff probably. Yeah,
hopefully we're going to see what we can do in this lovely pandemic time, but I think it's only fair that everybody gets one pandemic birthday, right? So it's now been over a year, so feel free to be over pandemic because we've all had our turn having a birthday.
And about mom's birthday, that'll be like a full year of quarantine. Yeah. Cause like, I think it was like a little after her birthday, right? It was sometime March. Cause remember we got the extended March break then, it all sucked.
So Jack and his brother were supposed to start face-to-face school again today.
but we got over
a foot of snow, so the buses were canceled. So we'll see what happens. All right, so we should probably get into talking about this.
Yeah.
All right, so we are talking about NXT TakeOver Vengeance that took place on Sunday night, right? It was a Sunday pay-per-view.
Yeah, whenever there's no like main roster pay-per-view on the weekend, it usually tends to be Sunday. Unless it's competing with an AEW show.
And man, I have to tell you right off the bat, the length of these is just beautiful.
No, it's great, yeah.
Right? Especially like you're in and out. There's no dead time. There's no anything.
You compare it to the two-day WrestleMania.
Right. Like this is just
seven-hour WrestleMania.
Five strong matches and away you go.
Although, honestly, the two-day WrestleMania, I can't complain when the last full-day WrestleMania, we got 7 hours.
So can't really complain when they're
splitting it up.
No.
Honestly.
So we didn't watch the kickoff show because there is never a match on the kickoff show.
They never have one, but...
And the only thing we missed from it, they rebroadcast later in the actual show, which was the debut of LA Knight. Right, FKA Eli Drake, who we've seen in many places before, so making his debut there.
I was very surprised by this because I think he'll fit in perfectly, but just like, one, I thought he was still in NWA, and two, it came out of the blue.
Yeah, I like him.
I didn't hear anything.
I like him, especially on the mic. I think because one of my complaints about NXT sometimes, right, is the character. Like, they're always in the ring.
I remember when we saw him, he was with Caleb with a K and Cameron Grimes, FKA Trevor Lee.
Right.
I remember that's what they were doing.
So he's pretty good in the ring. He's better on the mic, in my opinion,
which is good for him if he's coming here, right?
Yep. So. And his name is kind of lame, but it allows
him to keep a sports team.
And it keeps letting him do that Eli Drake thing, right? Like
the syllables work out for that.
So I don't know how long he'll be in NXT. He kind of feels like he's a main roster guy. He's very experienced and he's more, I would say, like sports entertainment than wrestler.
And he's got something in common with all the other recent call-ups. He's kind of old.
Yeah, he's not another not young guy, right?
He's definitely not that youthful.
But he's in great shape, a lot of charisma. He can talk, so there'll be a place for him.
He's fit, he's charismatic, he's what they like, so.
Right.
He'll do well.
He will.
And a great signing for them, must say.
I think it's about time he signed on to somewhere major. NWA was his last stop, I think, right? So
yeah, and then I think a lot of people are droning out from there.
They seem to be, yes.
They had like that brief revival, like that renaissance, and now they're kind of crashing down.
COVID really took them down for sure because they had a nice little following on their, what was it, like a half hour show I was watching?
Yeah, and then
it was kind of cool, very old school.
Because they... I think last year also they lost Ricky Starks.
They did.
Right?
So. Yep. All right, let's move into the actual show. So the opening video package featured a rap from Josiah Williams,
who I don't know.
He's
the guy who did that cool entrance for Adam Cole, and that's the only thing he's really done for them.
I didn't think the song was bad. I'm not sure it felt like on brand for NXT, but it wasn't bad.
I think he's been signed with them ever since the Adam Cole thing, or maybe before that, because he had a thing on YouTube called Wrestling Flow where he puts lyrics on wrestling themes, which is how he entrance for Adam Cole, because one of them was Undisputed Era.
Okay.
And there was also a Shield one, which was decent. So yeah, and then he wrapped it. It was decent, but nothing great. It was better than Bad Bunny, so I mean.
Agreed. for sure. So the NXT announced team of Vic Joseph, Wade Barrett, and Beth Phoenix were at ringside, all three of them, to welcome us to the show. And it's going to open up with the Women's Dusty Cup Finals, which is Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. So this was a pretty hot start. We're going to go over the matches, not in as much detail as we do on our Saturday show, but still give you a nice little recap here. So the referee was distracted as Moon was looking for a tag, allowing the heels an extended shot at sort of battering her. Gonzalez hit two fallaway slams on Moon and then dragged Blackheart into the ring for another fallaway slam and then a powerbomb into the sort of plexiglass at ringside.
Yeah, it's like the chain link, right?
You're right. Moon eventually overcame the two-on-one for an eclipse on Gonzalez, but she wasn't able to capitalize because Kai was distracting the referee, or it probably would have ended at that point. Blackheart finally gets the hot tag and goes on a run, including an avalanche sliced bread on Gonzalez.
I remember seeing that, and like I couldn't tell what it was.
That's what I think it was, anyways.
Like they did say it was a sliced bread, but like I remember seeing it, and like I was like,
Yeah, she was struggling with the grip for a second too.
Weird, and then like they said it was sliced bread, so I'm like, okay, it's sliced bread, but like
we'll trust them,
right? Right. It did not look.
She couldn't decide whether she wanted to go like under grip or over for a second. I remember it was kind of funny, but yeah. That's okay. Blackheart put Kai on her shoulders at ringside as Moon leapt off the top rope. Moon nearly submitted Gonzalez by wrenching on her head sort of thing, but Kai broke it up and then hit a chiropractor, which I'm always a fan of.
And it's a funny name too.
On Shotzi for a near fall. Yes, it is. Gonzalez tagged in and the heels combined for an assisted GTK for another near fall.
Yeah, like the gorilla press kind of into the... It looked nice. Yeah, it looks cool.
Before Gonzalez power lifted Moon out of the ring onto the elevated stage and then shoulder tackled her sort of off of it onto the floor. Shotzi capitalized by blasting Gonzalez when she re-entered the ring and tossed Kai over the rope onto Gonzalez. But as Blackheart went to the top rope for a splash, Gonzalez tossed her off, then pressed Kai onto Blackheart and followed her with her choke bomb finisher for a double.
Yeah, the one-handed power bomb.
And they double cover, right, for the 1-2-3. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez win the Dusty Cup, and because of that, a shot at the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
This match was one of Shotzi's best. Yes, it was a tag match, but there was still some sloppiness, like the sliced bread.
Yes.
But it was enjoyable overall, and even she did better than she usually does.
Yeah.
And I was more than happy to be wrong here, because Kai and Gonzalez definitely deserve it. They're, like, one of the few established teams on this roster, and the best of the established teams.
Yeah.
Because their only other competition would be Catanzaro and Carter, and then The Way. And we all know how The Way's doing right now.
And I think you're going to see Ember Moon and Shotzi as a tag team. I really do.
Yeah, they just kind of work together, even though they sucked. But, like, I don't know. I think Kai and Gonzalez have a great opportunity to bring the tag titles to the show for the first time. And I think them versus Baszler and Nia Jax could actually be really interesting, because you got a big woman in... both teams, and Kai and Baszler have great history.
There is something that works about Moon and Shotzi, though, I have to say.
They both have those crappy kind of characters.
I don't know. I like them together.
They're both bad at promos.
I think I like this a little more than you. I thought this was an incredible match. Fantastic opener.
Yeah, good opener.
They worked really fast. They did a whole bunch of crazy things. There were a couple of sloppy parts, but when there's this much going on, it's kind of inevitable. I thought Moon in particular stood out for large parts of this match. I thought everyone involved, and even Shotzi, did a tremendous job to get this show off to a great start.
Agreed.
I think the Women's Tag Championship should be on this show, where there are so many talented women and actually a few teams, as you just discussed.
Right, and then also it would be an excuse to get Baszler back on NXT.
Right. If I were to nitpick at all, it would be that the babyfaces did some heel-like stuff. Like, there was one point where Ember was really arguing about a two count, by like to the point where that she looked very heel, right? Instead of just being the babyface and getting back on the person, she just kept arguing. And then they also did the isolate and make quick tags, which it doesn't have to be only a heel tactic, but it generally is, right? But again, I really enjoyed this match, so it did not bother me at all, any of these minor details. So then we head into the North American Championship match with Johnny Gargano and our beloved Kushida.
Right.
We don't say a lot of great things about Kushida, but we'll see how this match goes. So Gargano, I don't know if you noticed, he was wearing Wolverine-inspired gear.
Is that what it was?
Apparently, that's what my research found.
The only other time he's done Wolverine was TakeOver Toronto.
Right. He usually does do some sort of theme gear, though,
he's
right?
He's done Spider-Man, Iron Man, Wolverine.
Yep.
Lots of stuff. He did Mandalorian, remember?
He did.
And Jack Skellington at Halloween Havoc.
Right. So he's usually got something going on.
He's one of those guys. Like Also Rollins has done a bunch and Rey Mysterio.
So Kushida hit a chicken wing suplex on Gargano outside the ring after the match started with a whole bunch of the classic holds and counters. Technical wrestling was definitely a focus of this match. Not to the point where it was bothersome, though. I mean, for some people it was, but it wasn't. Because it can get too much for me sometimes, but I found this wasn't too much. Kushida connected with his signature moves and then stomped on Gargano's head while wrenching his arms backwards. Kushida caught Gargano on the middle rope for a double underhook roll through suplex with a bridge for a near fall, then countered the one final beat with a clothesline followed by driving Gargano's left arm into the ring post. Gargano countered off the ropes with a twisting suplex and springboard tornado DDT for a near fall. Gargano and Kushida then traded submissions and pinning combinations before Kushida was lawn darted into the middle turnbuckle, which looked pretty awesome. With it always force. Does. Looked good. Good camera angle. Well executed. Looked cool. Kushida hit a chicken wing suplex into the corner now and then an avalanche Spanish fly into an armbar, nearly forcing Gargano to tap out three times before he finally reached the ropes, which is a pretty cool sequence as well. Kushida got a running start from the top of the stage to boot Gargano's arm and then locked in the hoverboard lock. Almost had me convinced, to be honest, that he was going to win, but Gargano eventually broke it by forcing Kushida's neck under the top rope. Gargano then hits one final beat onto sort of the ramp slash stage.
Yeah, because they had the ramp again where it kind of goes to
It's like flush with the ring
apron,
right?
Right, it just goes to the apron, which I do like sometimes because it's just different, and I don't know, it's just interesting.
So Johnny hits the one final beat on that ramp and then hits another one back inside the ring for the clean win, and he retains his title. What did you think?
Very happy with the result, of course. I think the right result, of course. But
yeah,
it was a great match, honestly.
It was.
Kushida's best. Not a high bar, but still.
By far.
Yeah. And I think this is more of Gargano just being the best and helping out Kushida. But if Kushida can hold around this level of quality with other people, then maybe he'll finally live up to the hype.
This
match was great. So 2 for 2 so far on the show. But Gargano should be a babyface again, and Kushida could maybe become one of those killer foreign heels, maybe like what you want for Asuka.
Right. That's kind of what I'm hoping too. So I know we're hard on Kushida on this podcast, but we try to be fair, right? I thought this match was awesome.
Yeah, and but I do want to see him prove himself against someone not Johnny Gargano, right?
Not the master of takeovers.
Right, because Johnny Gargano is Johnny Gargano, so.
Yep. This was easily the best thing Kushida has done since he's been in NXT. Almost too much grappling. Like, it got right up to the point where I was going to get tired of it, but then I got so caught up in everything happening. I just thoroughly enjoyed myself. I'm happy Gargano retained, because Kushida, it's great to see he can have these matches, but he needs some character development before holding a major championship.
Which I think the heel turn can give him, maybe.
Hopefully. So that's what I was saying.
And
maybe
he'd be actually serious.
Maybe he gets frustrated by losing some big matches and has to turn heel. Maybe he and Johnny can have a rematch and find
a way
to
pull off that would be great.
A dream double turn. That's what I'm saying, right? What
because I just think Kushida could just be the ruthless heel and Gargano can be Gargano once again.
So I agree. Two awesome matches to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we head into the third match, which is the men's Dusty Cup finals now, which is Grizzled Young Veterans versus MSK. So MSK went on a run early with Wes Lee hitting a springboard double back handspring tope con hero onto the veterans. This guy's nuts. He had a crazy match here. But anyways, with the referee distracted, the veterans hit a dropkick flatliner on Nash Carter. Lee gets the hot tag, and does he ever. And he hit a tope con hero over the ring post. Remember that? Over the corner, how far he went.
The vertical leap on this guy. The
ground he covered was pretty nuts. To splash both the GYV, followed by a double backflip heel kick. He's just going nuts.
Despicable.
Sorry, I did that just for you. Carter fired up and became enraged and brawled with Zach Gibson before hitting a springboard cutter. Lee was caught backflipping by Gibson, who hit Helter Skelter before James Drake followed with a 450 splash for a near fall. Lee escaped a doomsday device.
Oh, the final cut? I was trying to figure out what Helter Skelter was.
Yes, I think that's what he calls his final cut. MSK hit their shove moonsault, and then they combined for a flying senton and corkscrew senton for a near fall on Drake. Gibson put Lee on his shoulders as Drake hit a tope suicida doomsday device to the outside. I was like, awesome. I think I gasped on that one a little bit. It was nuts. There's just not a lot of room there, right? Right in front of the announce table. And yet
they made it work perfectly. Oh, it was
beautiful.
To their credit.
Carter got isolated back in the ring and barely kicked out of an assisted backbreaker. MSK countered the ticket to mayhem, knocked Gibson outside, and hit their...
they did like a springboard version of the Blockbuster...
Right.
Spinebuster.
And they hit that for the win. Wow. What did you think of this one?
Great outcome. Great match. I would say better than the women's match, but still both are great. MSK had some great offense. Same goes for Grizzled Young Veterans. GYV hit some of my favorite moves that they have, like the Final Cut 450 Splash and the Suicide Dive Doomsday Device.
That was crazy.
I remember seeing this kind of stuff, those exact moves. In when they won the UK tag belts when they won the tournament, I think it was. And this is like one of the reasons I love James Drake so much is because he did some insane stuff, the 450 splash, the suicide dive thing, just like.
And you've loved him ever since. I remember that.
Even Zach Gibson too. They're just a great tag team, and this is what I love about them so much. They're great heels, great in the ring as well. Winners were a good choice in my opinion, but I don't think there was really a wrong choice here.
No.
And WWE for sure did the Dusty Classic right this year.
I agree. It was very fun. I thought this was another insanely entertaining match. Very different in style to the one before it, right? You had a ton of grappling, a lot of counters and holds, and this was just... a lot of
flippy doodads.
This was nonstop energy, and both teams looked amazing. Wesley, I thought, was the star of this match. But I really liked that when Carter had that one fire-up spot where he just suddenly got really, really angry, because I was worried he was going to get kind of overshadowed, but I thought he looked really good as well. Grizzled Young Veterans continue to have matches that are solid, right? I think
both of these teams have great futures.
They just, can't remember a bad Grizzled Young Veterans match. I thought this was a clinic and cool double team moves by both teams. Felt like it was 100 miles an hour the entire time. Super fun match. So great to see MSK are being taken really seriously. I would love this
to be revived as a title feud either way.
I think so too. It could be.
Yeah.
And then my nightmare though is they break them up because they love Lee so much and put him on the main roster, and then he's Ricochet 2.0 and gone. He does have
that Ricochet vibe to him.
He does.
Which is almost like a bad thing now.
It's almost is. I worry, like, because you're worried, like, oh god, he's gonna catch someone's eye, right? You don't you want them to be
good. You want them to be good, but
not good to the point where they're like catches some, whoever it is, Vince or whoever.
Yeah, where they're like, oh, he's let's
move
good.
Him up, get him on a main roster. No, he's thank so you.
Good.
But anyways, super happy with the tournament and the outcome, and I'm hoping maybe even a rematch I'd be okay with then go from there. All right, so then we transition into what I find odd to say was my low point of the show, but I still really liked it. That's a sign of a good show. So it is the NXT Women's Championship match with Toni Storm versus Mercedes Martinez versus our champion Io Shirai.
Not our champion, literally the champion, also our champion.
Yes, she is our personal champion as well. Martinez hit Storm with an elevated swinging neck breaker to the outside early on in this one.
Cool.
It was. Martinez looked pretty good. The women tied each other up with simultaneous submissions before Shirai hits a 619. Springboard missile dropkick and double stomp from Tree of Woe on Martinez. A pretty cool combination of moves by Shirai. Shirai then climbed the light scaffolding, of course, for a double splash to the outside or from the outside.
This is when we noticed the announce table had mysteriously collapsed.
And we were confused, like, we're pretty into this show, right?
Did we miss something?
Who went through a table? There's no commercials or anything to worry about. No, but
we did find out that it collapsed later, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, so it was just some sort of spot was planned that they didn't do and had to sort of shift on the fly, I guess. I don't think they did a bad job because nothing wasn't too clunky. It didn't bother me too much. So Martinez attacked Storm with knees and a fisherman's buster, but Storm came back and hit Martinez with Storm Zero for a near fall.
AKA Tyler Driver.
Right. Storm followed with a flying headbutt, and Shirai came out of nowhere with her moonsault onto both women, which I find ironic,
because that's exactly what she did in the last triple threat she was in, which is where she won the title.
So moonsault out of nowhere for the win, and Io Shirai retains. And your thoughts, fella?
Good outcome once again. I haven't been disappointed with a single outcome so far.
No.
This match was the worst of the card, but still good. I heard it got cut short, though, so I'll cut in some slack, I guess.
Yeah.
Even Toni Storm, who sucks butt, looked fine here. speaking of butt, she needs to stop doing that move.
Wow.
Considering Shotzi and Toni both looked not completely awful on the show, that's a feather in WWE's cap, I'll say. Yushirai is on a completely different level compared to the rest of the division, though, and Kai and Gonzalez are arguably her most viable contenders, but they're both busy after winning the Dusty Cup. I'm almost positive Taya Valkyrie is signed or being signed, and I saw something, I think she's headed to NXT, so that's great, because she would have to be a top contender.
I would think so.
Even then, she'd have to be built up a bit to become a major challenger, so even if Taya comes, Io's going to need like a challenger or two while Taya... Maybe beats some credible baby faces. Can't think of any.
Me either. Offhand.
Ember Moon, I guess.
Yeah.
But if Ty's built properly, she could be the one to dethrone Io, and maybe she could possibly the next heel to reign over NXT, Shayna Baszler like, and replicate maybe her Impact success.
We could hope so. We like Taya here, right? So yeah. I'm hoping good things for her. So yeah, again, it's crazy to say, but probably my least favorite match on the card, and it may be partly due to the like following that crazy MSK GYV match, right?
And I think it was cut short as well.
Yeah, I still think it was a good match, but it was on a card full of great matches, I think. So the right person won, in my opinion, as well, and neither of the other two have been built to the point where they're believable, right, as a threat to Io.
One of them sucks, and the other came from a sucky gimmick.
It's just they haven't been... time invested in them and stuff yet. They're sure. Trying with Toni Storm, but
the time hasn't been invested yet. Toni Storm's been here for like 2 years at least.
Well, off and on, I guess, right? Yeah. The missed table spot may have hurt the match. I don't know what they were planning, but it was still entertaining.
Probably something cool.
And honestly, better than most women's matches on any other program that you're going to see.
So you can't really complain in that aspect.
But Io's capable of having absolute blowaway matches, so this wasn't her best. Martinez and Storm, I would say, held their own for sure, but Io's on another level. And again, like you're saying, right, I don't know who's going to be next for Io because Gonzalez seems busy, like push Taya right out of the gate, maybe, like you're saying. I don't know. We'll see what's next. But it's Io's so good that you struggle to think who's on her level, who's a believable somebody that could actually beat her, right? And that's why I kind of liked it when it was Dakota Kai, because even if Kai can't beat her on her own, she's got Gonzalez there to sort of help, right? So then it's at least believable that Kai could win, because right now I'm having trouble thinking who's she gonna face where I'm like, oh yeah, Io might not win this, because I don't see that right now.
I guess Taya, but like
maybe if they book her right, but we'll see. All
right,
so I mean, this has been nonstop rock leading up to the main event, so let's see what happens there, right? It is the NXT championship match, a match that we were super looking forward to the point where maybe it hurt it a bit for me, because
my expectations literally were nuts. Ever since Pete Dunne turned heel, and I just wanted this match. I remember praying for it at New Year's Eve. We didn't get that, but it's almost better we got here, because takeover matches are always better. So.
Yep, for sure. So it is the NXT Championship, Pete Dunne versus Finn Balor, and there were extended sequences of technical wrestling to begin this with submission attempts and reversals. Dunne eventually is focusing on snapping Balor's fingers, as he tends to do. Balor came back and worked Dunn's knee, which is being sold throughout this match, right? He did it so well on that one spot near the beginning that he actually had me. I was like, oh no, really? Are we... Like, he looked like a guy who actually tweaked his knee for a second, so I was a bit nervous we were getting sort of robbed of this match, but he was just working,
good
man.
For him, then.
Yep. Dunn snapped Balor's fingers to break an STF and sold his knee again frequently by sort of not being able to deliver certain offensive moves. Dunn got a near fall with a sit-down powerbomb and stomped on Balor's fingers. Balor hit a backstabber, sling blade, missile drop kick, but Dunn countered the coup de grace with a triangle that I thought looked pretty nice directly into it, forcing Balor to eventually get a rope break. Dunn then broke, quote-unquote, Balor's fingers to escape an abdominal stretch on the ground, and he hit the bitter end, so we were like, oh, really? But it was just a near fall as Balor kicked out at the last second. Dunn again stomped on Balor's fingers, but Balor countered a powerbomb into a DDT and a bitter end into an inverted DDT. Balor stomped Dunn's back and ripped out his mouthpiece
at
this
point. And then drop kicked him right in the face.
And then missile drop kick right in the face. And then we get a coup de grace immediately followed by the 1916 for the clean win by Finn Balor. And he also retains his title.
Yep.
Thoughts?
Great match, but I think there was more that could have been done here. Kind of like those Lucha Bros matches we saw on Dynamite, just like... I think in a better scenario...
There's another gear they can go to.
Right, exactly.
Although you'd think it would be in the main event of a takeover if
you're
going to hit
that gear.
Yeah, but
maybe they're saving it for a bigger thing. Yeah. I've heard Balor might defend it at Mania, so...
Nice.
But my expectations were, like, sky high, so that's not really their fault. But I would say they could have a rematch and better this match for sure. But this was amazing. Let's get that straight. And the main event scene, though, seems occupied, but also unclear. We'll talk about that in a second.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if how soon the rematch would be. But if Balor defends the title at Mania, then Pete Dunne would have to be in the conversation for that, right?
I mean...
So a great match and a great way to end the show.
There's a small little group of guys that we might talk about in a minute that I wouldn't mind if they just keep rotating through matches against each other. You know what I mean?
For sure. Pete Dunne could be in that.
I really like this match, but it suffered due to my extremely high expectations, I've mentioned.
I don't think we can really fault them for that.
No, I can't.
This is the ultimate dream match.
Really good match, but I was expecting like a match of the year contender, and I don't think it was. Regardless, they put on a clinic of technical wrestling. This match
has... We'll have to see what else NXT offers.
Strong psychology and selling by both. I would love to see a rematch. I did prefer O'Reilly Balor, I have to say, but this was a really strong main event.
Which one?
But it's weird to say it wouldn't be my favorite match on the show. I don't even know if it would be my second favorite match, but I still really enjoyed this match. I thought it was excellent. So, man, this pay-per-view in general, right?
Top to bottom. Yeah, they nailed it first takeover of the year.
But all the matches are over, but there's still stuff going on.
Oh, boy, is there.
So after the main event, we get Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. They attack Balor and Undisputed Era have to come in for the save. Eventually, we get Kyle O'Reilly sort of pleading with Balor and saying, you can trust us and stand with them and offering him a hand to help him up.
Can he trust them?
So they do all stand next to each other with it looking like Balor, is he joining or is he just friends with them or whatever, and you don't really know. And as you think we're about to find out, Adam Cole super kicks Finn Balor in the head.
I was laughing so hard.
O'Reilly steps in and starts to argue and Cole hits him with one as well. So then Roderick Strong, sort of unsure of which, sort of, there's obviously a divide in the faction, which way he's going to go. It kind of seemed like he was going to side with Cole from where I sat. But basically, TakeOver is off the air with a major cliffhanger. And you have stuff to say, I know, so go ahead.
I'll probably talk about it at the end with when I give my opinion, so I'll save that.
So I mean, I already love this show, and then they added something amazing to the
end
like this.
They did that classic NXT thing, right? Where they put up the watermark, and then boom.
So we on our podcast have been unhappy with Cole as a face, and this is exactly what he needed, I think.
This is my favorite guy being cool again.
It felt like this was kind of a major moment, right? And it's created interest in Wednesday for me, a lot of interest.
Yeah, between to the point where I kind of want to see him more than AEW.
Between that and Cameron Grimes, I'm pumped for Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like maybe only Kyle will still stay babyface out of this bunch.
Yeah, I think so. Although, what's going to happen with Bobby Fish when he comes back? That could be interesting, too. I mean,
that they stay as a faction and... O'Reilly is like the main baby face. I'm hoping he's sort of convinced whoever he needed to convince that he can be a main eventer and he stays there.
For sure he can.
Yeah. So I don't know, a really cool, like everything. We call it six things on this card and all of them were excellent to amazing, right? So overall thoughts, you want to go first or last?
Show was awesome. I'll go ahead.
Yeah.
Even the worst match was still good. That's always a great sign. The two Dusty Cup finals both delivered and gave me satisfying results. Gargano and Kushida surprised me for the best reasons. Women's match was fine, but shouldn't have been cut short. Sorry. And the main event was one of my favorite parts and the cherry on top here. The aftermath was classic NXT, where they throw up the watermark and swerve you good.
Yes,
much like Ciampa and Gargano all those years ago, but this caught me by surprise. And I can't wait to see what's next. Despite these guys being my favorite faction, I am so happy for this because Cole needed this bad.
100%.
They were failing as babyfaces, except for O'Reilly. O'Reilly's doing pretty good, actually.
Yep, and I think that's what they're seeing.
Right. And I'm so happy my favorite guy in WWE, he's going to be cool again. No doubt about it.
I'm happy for you.
And there's so many ways this can go because I would say Cole, O'Reilly, and Balor could have a triple threat Mania, or you could even throw Pete Dunne in there. Those four guys can go on rotation forever. Like, they could do that for the whole year, and I would not care. The dream booking scenarios are endless, and I can't wait for NXT.
Nice. That is...
Like,
yeah, this
honestly,
show did a lot for us.
They did a great job. I'm actually excited to watch the show. It's weird.
So this show was amazing. No weaknesses really at all, I don't think. Mm-hmm. If I were to grade out each match, it's possible that there was nothing below a B+ for me, right? If I were really to think about it.
That's fair. I had
to nitpick, it was almost too crazy of a pace, right? And maybe could have left the main event slightly underwhelming just because it was like pedal to the metal this whole show.
And also the expectations.
I love this show. This is why I continue to love NXT despite the occasional lulls in the weekly programming, right? This stuff.
The takeovers are where they always deliver.
They make it worth battling through any programming that I'm not enjoying because it never lasts long. They always pick up the pace and are enjoyable. So when the stakes are high, this company and these performers always deliver. This was an A show for me, and I hope I remembered at the end of the year, since it's only February, because this could be a pay-per-view of the year contender for me.
I hope the Cole O'Reilly thing, I hope we remember as one of NXT's best feuds, because I think it has that potential. I think it can go up there with Owens and Zayn, Gargano and Ciampa. I think it can go up there.
It did feel like a moment, right?
Yeah.
Which it really makes me want to see it the Wednesday.
And I think it has the makings of that Ciampa-Gargano feud. It's the tag team betrayal. They're both amazing wrestlers. I just feel like they could have that epic trilogy. I think there's potential. And if Balor's involved somehow, that's fine. He's great too.
For sure.
And Pete Dunne is Pete Dunne, so he could also be involved.
So as you can tell, we really enjoy this. I gave it an A. Did you give it a letter grade?
I don't think you did.
I didn't hear one.
But I would give it an A as well. Solid show. Great stuff. This is why we tough it out, right?
So. Yep. Can you quickly pull up, because you did our predictions, right, on the episode 30?
Oh, yeah.
So do you want to quickly find those? We'll revisit. Yeah. So yeah, We did our predictions on the Saturday show, so I have no idea what I did for my picks, but we're going to check them now and see how we did.
Okay, so this was actually quite an interesting one for predictions. I'm just scrolling down. Because it was pretty close.
Okay, let's hear it.
I have one more often,
so I'm hoping it's me again.
So, actually, I'll start from the bottom, because... Okay, so the women's match, I was right... Oh, wait, neither of us were right.
All right, so nothing.
And then I got it right in the tag match.
Okay.
I thought you picked the heels, so maybe this is different. We both picked Johnny Gargano, so that's a tie, so I'm up one.
Yep.
We both picked Io Shirai, and then you picked Finn Balor, so tie.
Tied it up. That's boring.
Nah.
Oh, well. Good job. All right, well, I've got nothing else to say. How about you? You ready to wrap it up?
Yes.
All right, so that ends our bonus episode, NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day. It was fantastic. If you saw it, you know. If you didn't see it, you missed out. You should go see it.
Yes.
Try and find it somewhere. Thanks so much for joining us on a midweek bonus episode, and we hope that you'll all come back and see us, well, listen to us, on Saturday. We are very close to getting some video content on the YouTube, so keep an eye out for that as well. And again, just thanks for spending time with us, and we will see you back here on Saturday. So until then, take care.